All right, guys, welcome back to the Crystal Freelancer podcast. Today is my last day in Thailand. Been here about 40 days, and I have a special guest with me. I've got Riley Bennett, former collaborator. Obviously spent a lot of time in Thailand, so we've been meaning to catch up. We passed by each other a few times on this recent Thailand trip, but yeah. Riley's been staying in Thailand for a lot longer than me, so I thought it'd be good to have his perspective on this topic. Welcome and good to speak to you again.
Yeah, good to see you, man.
I just thought in this episode I'd recap like the experience of being in Thailand, especially post COVID, because I've been in, obviously spent a lot of time in Thailand well before COVID started, and this has been my first experience since the pandemic. So first off, like as I mentioned, I've just been here the last 40 days. You just told me that you've been in Thailand the last 8 months. Like, what's life been like in Thailand from your perspective?
It's been great, to be honest. I mean, basically the one main thing, well, the two main things that are different is nightlife closes at 11 or 12. Early on, it was 11. Well, during the thick of the pandemic, like it was no nightlife, but I was mostly in Europe and Bali for that. But these past 8 months, I would say past year, nightlife has been open until 10. And then in the past like 4 or 5 months, many places are open until 12. So that's the main thing with COVID, right? Is those like hotspots, the nightlife, they close it off. So that's the one main thing. And then second main thing is masks. So in Bangkok, everyone in public is wearing a mask. However, down south here in the islands, almost no one wears a mask except like in 7-Eleven.
It's so crazy, isn't it? Like I go to Copenhagen and like number one, people are wearing face masks and not helmets while driving along the street on an open road. Like it just does not make any sense. And then I was like, okay, because you know, I can go into restaurants and not wear them and drive down the road not wearing it. Surely the 7-Elevens will be chill. Not go into a 7-Eleven in Copenhagen and like they're like mask, mask, mask. They're chasing you. I actually had this experience where it started pissing down rain as I was trying to drive somewhere. I had this 10-minute drive and it was raining like crazy. And I was like, shit, I'll jump into the Big C, quickly buy a raincoat. And as I get in there, I'm like, oh, shit, I don't have a mask. So I'm like, they're drenched, like completely like dripping wet. And this, I'm like, I like grab the raincoat and she's like, where is your mask? And I'm like, I don't have a mask. Can I just buy this raincoat and get the fuck out, please? Yeah. And she's like, no. And then she said to me, no mask, no purchase. And I just was like, I'm ignoring that. Look, I'm drenched. And then luckily the checkout cashier lady like actually served me and I got out of there. But it was definitely annoying, the mask thing in Bangkok. Yeah. And then the fact that you have to wear them at 7-Eleven, like it's just not a thing that I'm thinking about, you know? Yeah.
It's like the only time I have, I just keep it like in my motorbike or whatever. Yeah. These big corporations have their strict rules. But other than that, in restaurants, I do not wear a mask day to day down here on the islands. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
And so those are kind of just the two main things. And then kind of the positives that came out of that is where do people go, you know, after 11 and 12, people who are going out, you look for after parties. And so we happened to, move into this big fucking penthouse in Bangkok and, splitting it between a few guys. And, that just became one of the popular after party destinations over the 6 months. And so like, you know, we know some DJ friends. And so we're like, everyone's like, cause you know, we've been based in Bangkok, you know, past like four years. And so everyone's like, what after party, can we come to your penthouse? Okay. Oh, you DJ. Okay. There's no clubs, you know, after there, nothing to do. Okay. Come play at our place. So some DJ friends start to come and then people see it on Instagram. And so we had this big actual housewarming party or penthouse and like ended up being like 100 people showing up and like almost got kicked out like right then and there.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it's basically been an after party vibe, you know, for the past, you know, 6-8 year plus. And same thing with Diamond Phuket. Things have closed at 12 pretty much. Up until the past like 3-4 months, now clubs in Phuket are open till like 2, and there's this one huge place in Phuket called Bay Hill that's now open all night for like the past 3-4 months. So totally open. But anyway, so In our penthouse spot in Bangkok, used to have just DJs to come, you know, DJ at the after party. Then we're like, fuck it, we got to get our own DJ deck so they don't have to like haul it up every time. People can just come and DJ. And so now I have the DJ thing in my house. And then by popular demand, when there's no DJ, I just start getting on there. So now I'm learning to DJ. And so for the past like 4 months, I've DJed like a dozen or more house parties. Yeah. And so thanks to COVID, now I'm like a house party DJ. So that's one positive thing that's come out of it. So that's been fun. I know you're into music too.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw all your live stream DJs. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember DMing you because you were playing like the house music that you like to play and listen to is the time that I like to listen to as well.
Oh, tech house, love it.
Yeah, it's so good. But I've struggled to kind of like find like where that music exists in Thailand. I've got a few recommendations for clubs in Bangkok or whatever. Sing Sings, I think, was one of them. But I can be quite particular when it comes to like my music taste.
Yeah.
Moving past the nightlife for a second. I wanted to talk like about entry requirements for new people. What I did a month ago, they had the test and go scheme. So I had to, basically there's this thing called the Thailand Pass, for people listening. And, it's basically, I actually got rejected from the Thailand Pass twice. And what I realized about the Thailand Pass is it's just making sure that you have all your documentation. So like, I was like worried that I was going to get rejected. So what I did was I basically didn't book anything and tried to fill out the Thailand Pass and then book. So therefore, I wasn't, you know, spending money and then getting rejected. But I realized like I had to do all that stuff. The whole Thailand Pass was just to ensure that you had everything booked. So I had to get a COVID insurance. That was the main thing. Be vaccinated. It's not necessarily you have to be vaccinated, but it just makes it easier. And so for vaccinated people, all I had to do was test and go, which was one night at a hotel where they like tested me and the next morning came back negative and I was free to go. But I did some research and like the process now, I like saved a little bit of a link here. The test and go has been removed and it's just looks like it's just the COVID insurance and being vaccinated. Still need to fill out the Thailand pass and have COVID insurance, but that's it. So I'm assuming like this has really opened the floodgates for tourism in Thailand because I mean the travel, the COVID insurance, I think I paid like 1500 baht or something. Like it wasn't much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. 30 bucks for a month. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not much at all. What was it like when you came into Thailand? Was that,
I did same thing, Thailand pass. And there's 1 day quarantine, which basically means they swab you in the airport on arrival. And then you have to go to the hotel. And then once the hotel gets the call, all right, he's negative, then you're pretty much free. And then you were supposed to do another COVID test on day 5 and another on day 10, something like that. This was back in September. And then it went to, okay, only on day 5. And now it's no second test. It's just test on arrival. And then on June 1st, there is going to be, or no, I think it's already no test requirement at all.
Yeah.
And then on June 1st, there's going to be no more Thailand pass. It's instant approval. Like it's still an online check in before you come, basically, kind of like how Vietnam comes. It gives you an instant approval. You print out the QR code and then you just come. And so, and also you don't need to have a vaccine anymore. It's pretty much totally back open now. It's just, you've got to, you know, check in on the Thailand pass thing before you come.
Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, Thailand is such like, you know, law has a different meaning in Thailand compared to like back home. And it's interesting. Like the whole process was like surprising to me because, in Australia, we had this hotel quarantine system that was like military grade stuff. Like you got off at the airport and the military escorted you on a bus to your hotel, where you're staying, and outside the front of these quarantine hotels was like military guards and stuff. Like it was nuts. And then, so like I get into, Chiang Mai airport to do this test and go, and I don't know what I'm expecting, but I get there and it's just like a normal airport pickup. The guy is like there, with like a sign with my name on it. And I was like, I could have just walked past this guy. He doesn't know who I look like, but I'm sure like the hotel would like need to check my name off a list or whatever, and then the authorities would probably be out for me. But who knows? It's Thailand. Yeah. But yeah, and then it takes me to the hotel, and there's like no security, and I'm like, where do I get tested? They're like, oh, there's just a van on the street. Just go to the van on the street by yourself, get it tested. Yeah. And then they were so casual. I was just like, and there was no security. I was just like, oh, so once I go to my room, can I leave? And they're like, no, of course not. And I just, because there was such a casual vibe, I was like, maybe I can leave. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And then the next day I woke up to a negative result, but they didn't say you could leave. I was just like, oh, I guess I can leave now just via email. And then the fifth day I did the test, but there was nowhere to upload the test result. So it was just I found the whole thing kind of hilarious, you know, like,
oh, whole thing is so funny.
Yeah.
Like the fact that like people still wearing masks, and it's just this whole COVID thing is just so funny.
The mask thing's the weirdest one. I think it's like a Thai cultural thing that people want to wear masks.
Yeah. You know? It's like, it's this security theater thing. It's like, you know, these corporations and governments and cities, they need to save face. So they need to act like they're doing some precautions, even though it may not make any difference or any sense at all, but it's security theater to save face on their part. And this is how it works.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd probably agree. I'd agree with that. Okay. So, I'll run through, I'm going to run through the three destinations I went to and kind of talk about what's changed for me. Chiang Mai, I was surprised. It's pretty much exactly the same. Like I went back to, in my like most watched video, I talk about this street stall on Siri Mang Kalajan Road. I call her the fried chicken lady. And I went back. She's still there. Her son's still there. They're still serving the exact same food. And I made that video in early 2017. And that just made me chuckle, you know, like it's just, they haven't changed their menu. Like it's just so many things. The things that have stayed the same. I think the Burmese restaurant changed its name, but still has the same menu. Like it just very minor changes. And what has changed, I guess, is more the co-working cafe scene. It's kind of like cafes and co-working spaces in Thailand seem to like open and close like nightclubs, you know, there are a bunch of cafes I noticed shut down, but there was like an equal amount of new ones that opened up. And the thing in terms of co-working that I noticed is Pun Space Niman apparently is no more. I didn't go check, but apparently that's not around anymore. And now in Niman, Yellow seems to be the spot. Have you have anything to add about Chiang Mai specifically, or
I haven't been to Chiang Mai since no, haven't.
Yeah, okay. I get it because like I went to Chiang Mai and it feels too small for me now. Like it just, I need a bit more excitement than Chiang Mai.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice for a period, but a lot of people feel the same way. It's nice for a while and then, kind of small and kind of gets boring. But yeah, I've heard the same thing, kind of same, not strict on masks or anything. It's mainly the big city of Bangkok that's the most strict with the masks.
The only time I got asked to wear a mask in Chiang Mai was entering malls. I went into cafes and restaurants that had literal signs on the front door, can't enter without a mask. And actually, and went in without a mask. And now that I think about it, the 7-Elevens in Chiang Mai didn't ask me to wear a mask either. So interesting, Kopenyang so strict on it, but Chiang Mai, literally the only place was Maya Mall. That was it. And then like it really hit me in Bangkok because so I was staying at this hotel that was in next to a mall. Emporium Suites, you may have heard of it. It was like
that's where I lived. That's where our penthouse was.
Oh shit! Yeah,
on the top floor.
Very nice. I liked it.
Best location.
I mean, it's connected to the what is it? There's M Cartier.
Yeah, the M Cartier and the Emporium.
Emporium. That's right. And then connected to the BTS. But the bad part about that is all three of those locations are indoor locations, well, apart from the BTS, but all three of them have in common that there's somebody there that's going to ask you to wear a mask.
Yeah.
So
especially Emporium Suites. You go up in the elevator and there's this face scanner.
Yeah.
It detects you have no, please wear a mask.
I know. I thought that was crazy. That's like some fucking Minority Report shit.
And so that's one of the reasons that they hated us and want to kick us out because they're very strict on the mask shit. And so we would always come in and like have friends coming up with no mask and we got like one strike, two strike, three strike. I'd have a meeting with the management. They're like, it makes sense if you're a big conglomerate corporation, they have like safety promise. And so they got to look out for their guests who are, tripping about it. But that's just how it goes.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, that was like basically the list of changes on my list. Did yesterday was I put it to the audience on Instagram and YouTube community. And literally kind of, I had a little brief look on Instagram, but I'm going to like bring up some questions now. Michael Winkler asks on YouTube community, what is your guess? When will Thailand reopen fully to tourism? So,
I'm not sure what he means by 3-4 months ago, bro.
I guess maybe like when he says fully,
what
like
are you waiting for,
no
dude?
Quarantine.
My mom was here in February. Yeah, the no quarantine for unvaccinated happened, I think, 2 months ago, 1 month ago.
Oh, really?
Like maybe May 1st.
So if you're unvaccinated, let me check my link here.
If you're unvaccinated, I think you just have to have a test on arrival,
pre-departure,
and maybe a one-day quarantine, which doesn't really mean one-day quarantine. It means just like the swab on arrival. They send the results to your hotel, and then you're good. Basically, don't have COVID. That's what they care about.
Yeah.
Don't have COVID when you come here. That's it.
So that's like maybe that's like what he's asking here. But yeah, I mean, it depends on what the definition of fully open. But I would say, to talk from my own experience, it was a bit scary to kind of travel again post COVID. You've been to a few different places during the whole pandemic, but I literally spent the whole thing in Australia. Part of that was choice. Part of that was a literal international travel ban.
Being in Australia. Yeah.
Yeah. We had an international travel ban on everyone, including, not everyone. Like if you were a foreign citizen, you could go back to your own country. But me as an Australian citizen, I had to apply to leave. And I was under the impression that I could, if I really pressed it, like I said, hey, look, I'm going to move abroad in my application. But I actually met this dude in Chiang Mai, Aussie guy, and he said that he applied 8 times and got rejected 8 times. I think after the 4th time, I would have like hired an immigration agency help me craft my application because maybe he was making the same mistake 8 times. But yeah, the point is, a lot of the vibe in general, my own feelings and like the actual system made me reluctant to travel. And so I kind of was like, I actually watched this like horror video. No, it wasn't horror video, but like I watched this video about a horror story about, it literally said, don't come to Thailand in 2022. And this guy, basically, I think he did test and go, but he tested positive. And so they're like, he was asymptomatic, so he didn't have any symptoms. And they were putting him into hotel quarantine, and he was, take him to the hospital. He's like, don't take me to the hospital, I'm not sick. And they're like, oh, okay. And they're like, they didn't even know what to do, like, with the situation, because he clearly wasn't sick, but he tested positive. Mm-hmm. And so I was quite nervous to like go through the whole thing. And when I had to go do all these steps to Thailand pass, I was like, oh, is it worth it? Maybe I put it off. But what I will say is like, I was definitely happy. I went through the process and everything went smoothly. And after that one night, everything felt back to normal. The only thing is like, these places are a little quieter than they once were, I'm pretty sure. And the mask thing, but otherwise it feels like, it doesn't feel like I'm in a pandemic here.
You know? Yeah, no, I've never felt like pandemic. It's just a little thing with the masks. And then if you like to go out, you know, nightlife's going to close at 12. And so there's been in Phuket, gazillion villa mansion parties going on. You just gotta, you know people. And then actually in Phuket, pretty much the whole time, there's been this one club that's been open until like 2-3 whatever late, called fucking King Kong. And so there's certain clubs that like have deals with the police, and that's kind of just how it goes. And in Bangkok too, for the past 6-7 months, there's been like a couple clubs in the city. It's millions of gazillions of people. There's going to be some clubs that pay off the police or whatever to be open a little bit later. So there always has been that. But in Bangkok, there's, you know, after party house parties, condo parties and stuff like that. So that's pretty much the only difference. Gyms and everything has been fully open and normal for the whole time. So yeah, I agree. Hasn't really felt different.
Yeah, okay. And just out of curiosity, are you in the Rawai region in Phuket? Is that where you're based, or
did you say Rawai? It was getting choppy a little bit. We got a place in Rawai for the past 6 months up until this week. Now we just moved to Kamala.
Okay. Yeah, because I've always had bad experiences in Phuket, but it's because I found myself stuck in Patong twice.
Yeah,
get out of there. So I know that there's a better side to Phuket. So I've got to give it another go at some stage.
Check out Rawai. It's like the closest thing to Canggu that I've seen in Thailand. And so it's like, if you saw my Rawai video, it's basically, you know, the summary of it. It's like a Canggu 5-10 years ago, much smaller. You know, for example, there's 3 co-working spaces in, you know, Rawai compared to, you know, a dozen or two in Canggu, and maybe like 10 really nice work cafes in Rawai compared to 100 in Canggu. So that's the way to summarize it.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, sounds like I definitely need to check it out.
It's great. A lot of Muay Thai people there, you know, vegan spots, and the whole kind of work remoter vibe.
Okay. I've got a question here from Sharaf. Has COVID affected the overall cost of living in Thailand? I think that would be more a question that you could answer, Riley?
Yes, favorably, actually. So we were able to get COVID discounts on all of our Airbnbs as low as half off. Wow. So as I said, one of my early videos when I got here, come now, because stupid deals on Airbnbs. So I have a few episodes of Airbnb cribs you guys can check out on my channel. And so the prices are getting back up to normal now, but back 6 months ago in that range, it was crazy deals.
Yeah. No, I remember when, cause I was in Bali last before the pandemic hit. And I remember like video calling some of my friends there, and they were like staying in like 5-bedroom houses and stuff, like for like, you know, the cost of what they would pay for like a one bedroom, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I would assume due to less tourism, like less demand, the cost of things would go down. But that's probably going to recover very soon, I'd say. Right. Because I think there's like a subset of the market, the tourism market, that are like my dad, who are like, oh, the whole COVID thing has scared me from traveling. Cause like, what if I get sick with COVID and I'm in Thailand and the hospital system's not as good and all this stuff. But then there's like majority of people that have been waiting to travel for years. And so I think as soon as the floodgates open, I think that's, it's gonna like, you know, not necessarily get back to normal, but there's a ton of people lining up to, you know, go through with their travel plans that they basically had to delay for 2 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's been, I've been noticing firsthand steady increase every month for the past 6-8 months. And then a big increase on May 1st, when basically they said, all right, you don't need a test in your home country before you fly. So just another step gone. And the full moon party being a good measure of that. The past 2 months have just been absolutely packed, pretty much back to normal. Absolutely freaking packed. As, did you end up making it down to the full moon party?
Yeah, yeah. So was that level of attendance like normal attendance, like pre-COVID sort of
levels? I was there in 2017, and I don't think I could say normal, but enough for, you know, the shots that I got. It was like huge seas of people around the main stages, but not quite normal, maybe half of normal, but still that basically just means, because it's like a long beach, so everyone's just, you know, concentrated on like five main stages instead of normally maybe it'd be like 10, and so it's still a humongous party.
All right, next question here. This is a bit of a weird one, so I don't know if we're going to be able to answer this. He has like a two-part question from Alta. And he will I be able to immigrate there with my two cats? Do you have any idea the answer to that?
I don't know. We could Google. Can you immigrate to Thailand with cats? You must obtain a permit from the livestock department for your pet's approval. License off for 6 days. Any live animal need import permit. So check that out there.
The power of Google.
Guy. Thanks for the, good question.
His second part of his question, what types of natural disruptive phenomena, I think he means natural disasters, Thailand is prone to, aside from tsunamis? I have never experienced any natural disasters in Thailand before.
I mean, it's probably the main one. There's flooding, you know, can be monsoons. Flooding is probably the most common that you see. Like I heard last week there was a big downpour in Bangkok, and you'll see some streets flooding. We all see it in Chiang Mai and places. Usually that's not gonna affect you. Extremely hot sun that's gonna sunburn you.
I wouldn't say
that. I mean, if you're worried about that, I mean, then just stay at home. Is your best bet. There can be an earthquake in any place in the world, pretty much, you know.
And I mean, the flooding is probably, a lot of it would I'd assume would be due to like town planning and like not good sewage systems and stuff like that, right? Like there's certain situations where like parts are flooding here and they just don't need to, like if they had a better, you know,
like right there at Soy 24 at Emporium, I've seen a couple of years ago. It was just like motorbikes like look like boats going through.
All right, I'm going to switch over to the Instagram questions here, which we have, I have quite a few, so might just move a bit quicker through these ones, if possible. Raphael asks, how is it there this time? Are many closed? He didn't say many what. But I guess the essence of the question is, is a lot of stuff closed that was previously opened due to COVID. I'd say from my experience, I haven't noticed like a lot of things closed that should be open. What's kind of your experience with that?
Yeah, when I got to Rawai, last September, so I'd say last quarter of 21, in Rawai, it was like maybe half of shops and restaurants were closed. And that kind of is expected, right? Because it's like 10-20% of the normal tourist. And then steadily every month, that's back open. And so I would say currently maybe, 80-90% of, shops and restaurants are back open. And so, yeah, but gyms, I have noticed there's a lot of Muay Thai places in Rawai, and a chunk of them were closed because there's just not that much demand. But the most popular places have been open the whole time.
Yeah. Okay. Next question is, as a percentage, how many tourists do you see compared to pre-pandemic?
Yeah.
I'd say it's over 50%. I'm not sure. I'm not great at estimating these sort of things. Would you be able to put a rough
percentage? Yeah, yeah. I've been thinking about this a lot. And so
just base it off
just
the
Googled it. My feel right now is like maybe 30% or something like that. Because it's hard to judge because where you go, everyone conglomerates, right? And so where you go, it seems like there's a lot of people, but if you zoomed out and see the whole view of God, the total numbers, it's probably a lot less than you think, just because everyone goes to the same places. So I don't know, you guys would have to Google that for this number, but I think it's still not even close to normal. Like Thailand's one of the most visited places in the whole world. So it's creeping up there, but I don't know. I want to say 30% or something like that.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
That's my guess. Yeah.
Next question is about masks indoors and how intense they are about it. We've kind of already covered that. Bangkok, very intense. Chiang Mai, just the security guard at the mall, in my experience. Koh Phangan, just 7-Elevens. Phuket, similar thing, just 7-Elevens.
Just the Sevies.
This is kind of a subjective question, but it's going to have a subjective answer, but BB Barat Radio, Better Radio, ask, where would you go if you had 1 month in one place? So I guess you're coming to Thailand, you only have 1 month. Obviously this is pretty subjective. For me, I probably Chiang Mai is my go-to still. It's because it's so easy to get around. I know I have my favorite restaurants there that are still there even years later, and I've got some friends there. But if I wanted to go somewhere new, we were talking about in this episode, maybe try Rawai, Phuket. What would be if you had one place to go?
Oh man, I hate month? This question because I hate choosing. So what I would say, if this is my friend, I would say, what are you talking about? You don't have to go to one place. Don't do one place. If you have 1 month, hit Chiang Mai, hit Bangkok, hit Phuket, hit Koh Phangan.
Yeah.
1 week in each. So I would say, but in a magical world where you can't leave, which why would you not be able to? It depends. If you love big cities, Bangkok's the tropical New York City of Southeast Asia. And then Koh Phangan is the hippie, work remote, super tropical island, super cool place. And so I would say if you want island, Koh Phangan. The jungle raves, if you like to party, there's jungle raves and beach parties every night.
I mean, maybe he only wants to do one place because of a work situation and he needs to stay productive.
I'm giving him a hard time.
Yeah, but I totally agree. I would, if you're thinking about Thailand long term, take some time off and do everywhere over a course of a month, and then you'll know where to go next time you come to Thailand. That would be my advice. Maxi Cloutier. I don't know how to pronounce that last name.
Shout out, Maxi.
What's the LGBT and drugs situation like? I don't know if I can comment on that.
Lots of ladyboys here. So,
Of course.
If you don't know, I was joking on my Instagram stories. There might be more girls here than more ladyboys here than girls at the full moon party. So, if you don't know, Thailand has a big ladyboy culture for whatever reason. Lots of ladyboys, trans folks.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, totally open in terms of that. You're not going to be discriminated. You are going to be very welcome. Of course, it's the whole country is welcoming. Yeah, don't worry. And in terms of drugs, I don't know. Do you want to take a take on that first?
I have zero experience with it. The funny thing with drugs is it really depends on your culture and different, because there's different cultures around the world. And the funny thing for Australians is when we think of drugs in Southeast Asia, we think of the people that have gone to Bali and had basically been executed for doing drug related crimes. So like from the Australian perspective, I'm just kind of like, okay, I'm not touching drugs in Southeast Asia kind of thing. Like, I don't even look into it. I don't know if there's anything you want to say on that or.
The
marijuana is becoming legal.
Yeah, the marijuana is getting legalized. It's like there's stuff going on. And so that's very exciting. There's cannabis shops. I'm sure you've seen all around. There's CBD shops, but many of them, it's secret THC. So example, in Rawai, there's one of my favorite cafes. They have a whole cannabis section on the menu, and they don't advertise the THC, but you eat that shit and you're getting placed. So you kind of gotta know. And then, so these, so it's starting, and they're working on making Thailand legal. I mean, obviously they should. It would be so great for the country, a new source of revenue. And it's obviously in any tropical island culture, there's always a Rasta culture. So it's going to be awesome. In terms of drugs, in any place you go, any party environment around the world, there's going to be drugs. Be smart. In general, like if you get caught, if you get stopped by the police, which is very, very rare, like in Bangkok, for example, they'll have in Phuket too, they'll have like checkpoints occasionally. They do it in many major cities. Like we got stopped in Medellin, Colombia once. Hide your shit. Be smart. Hide your shit. If you get caught, you're going to have to pay money. Okay, that's basically it. If you don't have the money, then they're going to take you to jail. And then basically until you can pay the money, you're not going to get executed unless you're trafficking. But as generally a story in any developing country, you're going to have to pay, you're going to have to pay the cops off. That's what I've heard. You go to any party environment, any club, beach party, jungle rave, and people are doing drugs. That's what humans do. Yeah. And so, just be smart.
Good advice. My mate Zach Young asks, do you expect another lockdown in winter? And I think we can extend that question to, do you expect another lockdown in general? Like it seems like we're out of the woods now. What is your perspective on that?
Do I expect another lockdown in winter? Well, let's fucking hope not. I mean, Jesus, I'm not Jesus, but I may, I hope not. Fucking hope not. Jesus.
I mean, there would have to be, I think for that to happen, there would have to be a new variant or virus that comes out.
Right? Yeah.
Because Omicron is weak and it's weakened even more. And it seems like we're out of the woods now with this pandemic. But of course, anything could happen. Yeah. All right, so I've got a few double up questions here, so I'm skipping over them. This should be a quick one to answer. Flying from London to Bangkok, best way to get to Chiang Mai, flight or train? I would definitely say fly. It's cheap and it gets you there in an hour. And I think the train is like 12 hours. Some people like to do the train out of novelty. I don't know why. I would hate to spend 12 hours on a train when I can just take a cheap flight for an hour. Like,
Yeah. Best way to get around Thailand is fly. It's around like maybe 2,000 baht. You can get, if you book in advance, maybe $30-$35.
Yeah.
You know, a little over 1,000 baht from Bangkok to Phuket. I've been noticing around 3,000 baht, like 100 bucks. Same from Phuket to Samui. The easiest way. So I always just fly.
Yeah. Same guy asks, moving to Chiang Mai for 1 month, and want a nice place, Airbnb or something else. I've talked about this in the past, like you can like book one night and then roam around. And I mean, this is what's happened. This is my experience in the past, like 2016, 2017, you could just walk around and move into an apartment by going into different offices and move in that day. Ever since I've been just using Airbnb, because even with like a 20% premium, it's just so much easier for me to do it in advance and still cheap. Do you know anything? Have you heard anything about that, Riley? Or
yeah, that's you know, the classic 4-hour work week tip. If I'm doing that, book an Airbnb for two nights. Make sure you like it. Make sure it's good. Make sure you like the area. And then if you want, extend. Or switch it up if you want to try a new place.
Cool.
So that can be hit or miss. Like a couple of times it's been like, oh, you have two nights, but you try to extend. Oh, sorry, now it's fully booked. But yeah, that's normally I wouldn't go to like a new place I want to check it out and book like a week, unless it's some like epic villa, of course. But if it's like some hotel or something, somewhere you want to scope out, I usually do two nights. One night.
Okay.
I've noticed one night, if I book one night, sometimes they'll check in really late at night. And it's like, you got to check in right in the morning. It's like, I've been less than 12 hours and I got to check out.
Excuse me.
So I normally like two nights. I found that's good.
Okay. Joseph asks, anything specific to know about flights? I would just say they ask you to wear masks on planes and at the airport. That's it, really.
Yeah, planes, you got to wear a mask, which sucks. I have traditionally got one of those sleeve covers things. It's not a mask, but it's like a pullover kind of like tube thing, much more comfortable.
Because
on those long flights, if you have a regular mask over your ears start to hurt.
Yeah, okay.
Or like
my flight tomorrow, so I might have to look into that.
Or I have headphones like this, and I put the mask around the headphones, so it's not touching your ears.
Good tips. That's a good little hack there.
Yeah, figure out a way. Or like my mom literally has this product. It's called the Seat Sleeper, and it straps around your head and around the headrest, and so it kind of secures you in, and so you don't bob. So when you fall asleep, your head doesn't bob like that. And I always use that. So you can check it out on Instagram at Seat Sleeper. And so
shout out.
What I'm getting at is you can also put it over your mouth. Or what I've also done is put the Seat Sleeper over my eyes. So it covers your eyes black and you can sleep, rest real nice. And then I'll have an eye mask. You know, one of the regular eye masks. It straps all the way around the back of the head and I have that covering my mouth. So it's more comfortable. Or like get a face mask thing with the, where you can buckle it. A little attachment where you can buckle it behind your head, so it's just not pulling on your ears. That's the only annoying thing on flights.
Okay, wow. Yeah, you've really thought about this. I've just been like, I'm on a flight, put the mask on. Yeah, but yeah, you've definitely
got a lot.
You could probably do a whole video on that if you haven't already.
Yeah, I should. You know, promote my mom's product too.
Put that on the list. Angel here asks, how have the most popular tourist spots evolved after COVID? I mean, this evolved. Probably, I don't know how we can sort of answer this question.
They're bigger, better, better. Everything's better. Come now, guys.
Everything's better. Yeah. it's, I mean, my experience is like, it's similar to like, well, I went to out of those. So Khao Son Road was pretty busy when I went there. Koh Phan Yang is like, I remember it, maybe less busy. So yeah, I don't think it's, I think it's really just the pandemic hasn't drastically changed anything in, at least for, in my perspective.
No, yeah, it hasn't.
Nick asks, do you meet a lot of 40 plus year old nomads? I'm going to keep this specifically to Thailand. Yeah, I'd say like I meet. I wouldn't typically meet many people past the age of 45 who live this lifestyle. What about you, Riley? Do you meet many 40 plus year old nomads in Thailand?
I mean, obviously there's less, but there's some. And if you want to meet up with them, figure it out. Maybe there's a Facebook group. Go out co-working spaces and meet those people. They're out there. You have no excuse not to catch up with them and meet them in this day and age. It's too easy. No excuse. There's tons of them. Find your click. And yeah, there's tons.
Awesome. Good advice. All right. Last one from Kaylee. What are the laws if you get COVID? And this is like something that I thought about as well. Like I wondered, like if I test positive at the in the test and go scheme, like what happens then? Like you know what I mean? Like am I screwed? Or like is it like, oh, okay, you're not sick? Like, and the funny thing is, I don't think they have that information available.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is a little bit of a mystery.
Yeah, so this happened to a couple people I know test positive on arrival. And so basically you have to just stay at your hotel until you're for 5 days, and then you test again, you're negative, and then you can go. If you test just like randomly positive, don't go to the hotel don't go to the hospital to tell them, because then you'll have to do hospital quarantine. And so yes, for like 5 or 10 days. So don't do that. Just stay home. And so there's an abundance of little COVID test strips. So if you're feeling sick, just test at home. And if you're sick, just stay at home. Don't go to the hospital to get tested, because if you do positive there, they'll make you stay. And then also, like if you test positive to go into like some clubs, even still, there's a ATK a line to get into the club, is what it is. If you test positive there, there's a chance they'll say go to the hospital. Just say no. Oh, okay, no, and just get the fuck out of there and go home. Don't say okay, let's go to the hospital. Just walk away and go home. And so
yeah, funny today I
a little trick. Sorry, bro. Yeah, this actually happened to Amy, but a little trick, like if you're gonna put your phone number on the little test strip and then they call your name and say, don't put your actual phone number. And so if so, they might like call you and like try to track you down. I think that's pretty unlikely, but just don't put your real phone number just in case you test positive, so it's, you know, not on the record or whatever. But that's what I found.
Yeah, I was just gonna mention that your story kind of your example of the nightclub line. I had a similar experience with that today with the massage parlor. I went in and they're like, "Oh yeah, you need to do a COVID test, rapid antigen test." And I was like, "Oh okay." And I asked them, "What happens if I test positive?" They're like, "Oh well, you pay us 50 baht for the test and you can't have the massage." And I'm like, "Oh okay." I just wanted to check whether they were going to like imprison me or something if I tested positive. But it was a weird one. Like I didn't have to put it up my nose at all. I spat into a paper bag and then pulled out my saliva and then combined it with the liquid and then put it into the testing kit.
Yeah.
So I don't know how accurate these things are. It said wait 12 minutes and I was like a few minutes into the wait and they're like, oh, there's no sign. There's no second line coming up. Yep. You just go. Like,
it's all security theater. Like they don't care. Yeah. They just want people to come into their business, you know, and they just have to follow the rules though of the establishment or whatever. So everyone wants you to come. Obviously if you are sick, obviously don't go and mix it around, but, yeah.
All right. Awesome. Well, I think we've covered like a lot in this 50 minutes on Thailand. Just to summarize, I'd say like, you know, it's not that much different from what it was. Like a lot of the information that, you know, I think both of us talk about Thailand is still relevant. It's just the COVID specific stuff that's changed, you know, and that's mainly around testing and masks. And yeah, it's not as busy as it once was because, you know, as Riley looked up, you know, the tourism numbers are lower. So, but there's nothing drastically different that I've experienced in Thailand. Still a great option. I'd still recommend it for like new people. Like it's still a great country to get started. And for people that are established as well, like Riley. So I think we'll wrap it up there for the Thailand post-pandemic section. Thanks for jumping on and helping out on this podcast episode. Anything you want to shout out or like, you've got people watching on YouTube can see your Instagram handle there.
I went ahead and just made it live on YouTube and I think people are like, there are like over 20 people here.
I just noticed that.
I was like, fuck it, make it live, dude. Just like, why not? And so, that's Thailand post-pandemic summary. Everything's open. My mom and Parker's mom came in February. They're loving it. Everything fine. So come. Like if my mom's coming, like what are you waiting for? And so it's totally open. Come on down.